In the heart of New York City, overshadowing Trump Tower, for years now, there has been whispers of a conspiracy theory swirling around the golden facade, but none so strange and gripping as those involving the rumor about a hidden room that supposedly contains secrets capable of altering the course of history. As an investigative reporter, I have always considered these theories to be nothing more than piles of steaming crap. And then I received an anonymous tip about a hidden elevator that leads to an unknown floor in Trump Tower. The source said the secret floor had papers and recordings that could unravel a world conspiracy. Skeptical yet intrigued, I decided to pursue the lead. My investigation commenced with the blueprints of the building, but there was not the slightest indication of any hidden floor or secret elevator. I was undaunted and frustrated simultaneously. I kept digging, interviewing former employees, security personnel, and even tower residents, most of whom dismissed the question with a laugh and an incredulous look, except for one old janitor, Hank. His eyes went as wide as saucers with terror when I brought up the hidden floor.
"You don't want to go poking around in things best left alone," Hank warned, his voice shaking. "Some doors, once opened, can't be closed."
I, however, didn't stop to heed the grim warning. One late night, checking out the building's service elevator layout, something caught my attention. An elevator shaft that seemed to continue past the floor on the building's official directory. My heart was pounding as I approached it. With half charm and a fake ID, I managed to slip my way into the service areas of Trump Tower. Dimly lit corridors led me to the mysterious elevator. Old, made of brass buttons with years of wear and tear, there was one additional button at the top, labeled only with an enigmatic symbol. Preparing myself and holding my breath, I pressed it, and the elevator began to ascend. The ride felt like it was an eternity. The air inside was crackling, almost heavy with anticipation. Finally, the doors opened, and I set foot inside a lavishly decorated room, just like it had been preserved from another time. Everything exhaled gold and precious paintings. All the ostentation staggered me. What really took my attention was the large desk in the center of the room, made out of mahogany. On the desk lay a series of documents and a laptop with it. It is here where documents unraveled a complicated web of political maneuvering, money transactions, and secret meetings among world players. But what really got me spooked was that over and over again, there were references to Project Golden Dawn, a world-class operation with the best politicians, billionaires, and even heads of state in the manipulation of world events for their benefit. The noise made me freeze. As my eyes scanned over the documents, I turned slowly to see that some figure was emerging from the shadows. The figure was none other than Donald Trump himself, not looking surprised, but amused.
"Welcome, George," he said, his voice dripping with confidence. "I see you found my little secret."
How did he know I would be here? Why had he let me get this far? Trump indicated towards a chair and invited me to sit.
"You see, every great empire has its mysteries,"
he began as he leaned against the desk.
"This room, these papers, it's a game. It's a game of power, control, and influence. Not towards me, but towards a network, a global order that runs the world as we know it."
A chill ran down my spine. Everything started to get serious. "Why are you telling me all this?" I asked, my voice steady despite my fear. Trump smiled.
"For I know something about you. You're no ordinary journalist. You're of that type that feeds on the truth, no matter how dangerous it is. And I need somebody like you."
No sooner had it stopped than the sound of accompanying footsteps filled the room just seconds afterward. Several men in black suits entered, their faces all rigid. Trump smiled a bit off to nod at them.
"You have a choice, okay?" he said. "Join me and you'll have access to truths beyond your wildest dreams, or walk away now and this never happened. But remember, the world isn't as it seems, and sometimes knowing too much can be hazardous."
I was hustled out of the tower by the men in suits. They held on to me insistently, but it could not be called rough. As soon as we came outside and my head started spinning from the huge crowd in New York City, something started settling. I had stumbled across something way larger than any old conspiracy theory. This was a revelation, enough to either make or break my career or life. What would my next move be? The papers I possessed, snapshots of proof positive to the conspiracy. Still, the exposure would lead to a catastrophe. Still, the lure of the truth was irresistible. I looked at my laptop, and the files glared back at me. There was something queer among them. The files existed there with a title, Project Springfield. Opening it, I noticed that within it was references to a popular television series, The Simpsons, and how the show predicted the Trump presidency. Now, that could be a part of the conspiracy, couldn't it? I continued my research and found that the authors of The Simpsons also belonged to the same global network from which Trump originated, but in a very subtle contribution that made this show. In fact, predictions of what would happen were not just coincidences, but the placement of a message and a way to prepare society's subconsciousness and manipulate public opinion. I was chilled to the bone. The documents were alleging that Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, was related to several powerful figures in politics and finance. The show was actually a device with which the public was set up and prepared for events that hadn't even happened yet. Adding one more layer of mystery to my thought, the show seemed to have truly predicted some incidents. In one, Bart Simpson had a sign, a makeshift President Trump sign, in the broadcast years before Trump had even announced his candidacy. Another showed the scene eerily similar to when Trump went down the Golden Escalator to announce his run for the presidency. It's as if it was some sort of prophecy on that show, real life coming through in its futuristic dates with uncanny accuracy. I remember one late night while going through the documents, receiving a call from an untraceable number. The voice on the other side was distorted and simply said, "Stop your digging, otherwise you'll have to pay for this." It was a real threat, but I became even more determined then. The truth had to be too important to bury. It all came together when I found a reference to an upcoming event dubbed the Springfield Protocol, expected to coincide with a major political upset. If The Simpsons had it right, if its creators had any inkling of what was really happening, the implications were chilling. The world was being manipulated in ways we couldn't even begin to fathom. As I placed the final full stop in the last paragraph of the article, I already knew it was a big risk. But the world had to know the truth. The enigma of the Golden Tower, the sinister influence behind The Simpsons, the chilling reality of Project Golden Dawn. The world had to know. My life might never be the same, but I was ready. The future depended on it. This story is a work of fiction. This is one of the most chilling conspiracy theories surrounding the recent assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. Imagine this, a shadowy network of government officials, intelligence operatives, and powerful elites, what some refer to as the deep state, plotting in the dark to eliminate Trump because of his anti-establishment stance. It's a theory that sends shivers down your spine, but when you start connecting the dots, the picture that emerges is nothing short of terrifying. The term deep state is often thrown around, but what does it really mean? According to this theory, the deep state is a clandestine network operating within the government and allied elites who wield power independently of elected officials. Their goal? To control policy, maintain their grip on power, and ensure that anyone who threatens their influence is neutralized. Trump, with his fiery populist rhetoric and disruptive policies, was seen as a direct threat to this entrenched power structure. From the moment he stepped into office, he declared war on the so-called swamp, a term he used to describe the corrupt officials and elites he believed were sabotaging America from within. Fast forward to the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where a man who was barely 20 years old took a shot at an ex-president of the United States. Things just don't add up. It was supposed to be just another campaign stop, but for those who believe in the deep state theory, it was anything but ordinary. Let's start with the sniper, Thomas Matthew Crooks, who managed to infiltrate a highly secured area. How could someone get that close to a former president without inside help? Critics argue that Crooks had access to information that only someone within Trump's security detail could have provided. And then there's the delay in the Secret Service's response, a delay that some witnesses described as confusion and disorganization. Could this have been sabotage? Could certain members of Trump's own security team have been compromised? Those have emerged where people claim to have spotted the shooter and alerted the authorities as much as 15 minutes before the shot was placed. Then why did it take so long for the authorities, cops, and snipers to interject? Suspicions don't end there. Surveillance footage from before the rally shows certain security personnel acting strangely. Some were seen leaving their posts, others engaging in what appeared to be covert communications. What were they talking about? Why were they abandoning their stations at such a crucial time? There were the reports of unexplained equipment being brought into the venue. Equipment that, some speculate, could have been used to aid the sniper or disrupt standard security protocols. It's almost as everything was set up to create the perfect opportunity for the attack. Following the assassination attempt, investigations began to unearth some disturbing findings. For one, Thomas Matthew Crooks wasn't just some lone gunman with a grudge, but a pawn in a larger scheme, perhaps. Investigators also found encrypted communications on Crooks' devices. These messages, which could indicate a level of coordination and planning that extended far beyond a simple lone wolf attack, this wasn't just some random act of violence. This was orchestrated, methodical, and deeply sinister. This wasn't the first time something like this had happened. This incident shed light at a disturbing pattern of previous, less publicized attempts on Trump's life and career, from hacking attempts to physical threats. It seemed like there was a sustained campaign to destabilize and eliminate him, a campaign that had been running almost since the day he announced his candidacy. So what could drive the deep state to such lengths? The answer lies in power. Power and control. Trump's rhetoric and policies were a direct threat to the entrenched interests that have been quietly pulling the strings of American politics for decades. His promise to drain the swamp wasn't just a catchy slogan. It was a declaration of war against those who made the swamp their home. His aggressive stances on immigration, trade, and foreign relations disrupted long-standing agreements and practices that benefited the deep state. For them, allowing Trump to succeed was simply not an option. It would set a dangerous precedent, encouraging other populist leaders to rise up and challenge their authority. In their eyes, Trump's removal was not just necessary, it was essential to safeguard their dominance. Whether people believe in the deep state theory or not, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump has undoubtedly sparked intense debate and scrutiny. The anomalies at the rally, the connections uncovered during investigations, and the broader implications of a possible deep state involvement create a compelling narrative that continues to capture the public's imagination. As always, we encourage you to do your own research and form your own opinions on these complex and controversial topics. This is one of the most sensational and controversial conspiracy theories surrounding the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. Imagine this. Trump, aware that his popularity is slipping, his once ironclad grip on the electorate loosening, devises a plan so audacious, so unprecedented that it would either catapult him back to the top or seal his fate in the annals of political history. The theory goes that Trump himself orchestrated the assassination attempt as a calculated move to boost his popularity during a critical moment in the presidential race. It's a bold claim, but let's dive into the details, examining events at the rally and subsequent discoveries that led credence to this shocking notion. Picture the scene, a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. The air is thick with anticipation, the crowd swelling, perhaps larger than expected given Trump's recent slump in the polls. And then, the unthinkable happens. A shot rings out, the crowd panics, and Trump miraculously survives. But was it a miracle, or was it all part of a carefully crafted plan? The timing of this incident is particularly off. Just weeks before, Trump's poll numbers were plummeting, his campaign struggling to regain traction. The idea of a staged assassination, designed to evoke sympathy, dominate media coverage, and reignite his base's fervor, starts to take shape. Let's talk about the rally itself. Despite Trump's declining popularity, the rally was unusually well attended. It's almost as if something extraordinary was anticipated, something that would draw the crowds back in. Enter Thomas Matthew Crooks, the assassin. Crooks, a man with a questionable past, somehow manages to infiltrate a highly secured area, positioning himself for the perfect shot. Critics argue that such a feat would be nearly impossible without inside help, suggesting that the event was staged with a cooperation from either the Secret Services or from someone within Trump's own security team. And then there's the response, or rather, the lack thereof. Witnesses at the rally reported a delayed and seemingly disorganized reaction from the Secret Service, almost as if the chaos was pre-arranged, designed to create maximum impact without actual harm coming to Trump. But it wasn't just the rally itself that raised eyebrows. The aftermath was even more telling. Almost immediately, media coverage took a sympathetic turn, portraying Trump as a resilient, targeted leader. It was as if the entire narrative had been created to boost his image, to transform him from a controversial figure into a martyr. And it worked. Within hours of the attempt, Trump's campaign saw a massive surge that seemed almost too convenient, too perfectly timed. It's as if the event had the desired effect of rallying his financial base, reinvigorating a campaign that had been struggling to stay afloat. It clearly worked since his biggest rival, the current president, Joe Biden, dropped out of the presidential race. And then, as investigators began, more pieces of the puzzle started to fall into place. Thomas Matthew Crooks, the man behind the trigger, was revealed to have a history of mental health issues and financial troubles. It's not hard to imagine a scenario where he could have been manipulated, coerced, or even paid off to participate in a staged attack. And speaking of payments, financial records show unexplained transactions in Crooks' account in the months leading up to the attempt. These funds were traced back to shell companies linked to individuals with ties to Trump's campaign, suggesting a potential payoff for his role in the elaborate scheme. But it doesn't stop there. Analysts who dug deeper into Trump's campaign expenditures noticed irregularities, significant sums allocated to vague security enhancements, and crisis management services shortly before the rally. It's almost as if they were preparing for something big, something that would require immediate and extensive damage control. And while the idea of a self-orchestrated assassination may seem far-fetched, it's important to remember that the use of dramatic events to shift public opinion is not unprecedented in political history. Leaders throughout time have allegedly staged attacks or incidents to consolidate power, rally support, and maintain control over the narrative. In this context, Trump's involvement in such a scheme starts to make a twisted kind of sense. Known for his media savvy and his willingness to employ unconventional tactics, Trump's orchestrating of an assassination attempt on himself could be seen as a logical extension of his approach to maintaining relevance and control. By surviving the attempt, Trump could present himself as a martyr-like figure, enduring great personal risk for the sake of his political mission. This narrative would not only garner deep sympathy and loyalty among his supporters, but also allow him to reinforce the idea that he is constantly under attack by powerful adversaries, whether they are political opponents, the media, or even the so-called deep state. The psychological and socio-political implications of such an event are profound. The dramatic nature of an assassination attempt guarantees extensive media coverage, allowing Trump to dominate the news cycles and overshadow his political rivals. And by framing the opposition or other entities as responsible for the attack, Trump could strategically discredit them, rallying public support against perceived common enemies. The theory, while controversial, offers a captivating and believable explanation for the anomalies surrounding the assassination attempt. Whether you believe in it or not, it's undeniably a narrative that many agree to. The suspicions, timing, the security anomalies, the financial trails, all of these elements create a story that continues to intrigue and divide. As always, we encourage you to research, question, and critically evaluate the information to form your own conclusions.